Hello and welcome to Logan City Christian Church Podcast. Today we have an impactful teaching by Dr. Reginald Klimenok. Dr. Klimenok's preaching has touched the lives of many, inspiring and challenging audiences with his deep insights into the Bible and Christian theology. Join us as we delve deep into his powerful messages, uncovering timeless truth and practical wisdom that can transform our lives today. Get ready to be inspired, encouraged, and equipped as we journey through the rich tapestry of Dr. Klimenok's preaching.
In your notes, in the power lines, you'll see that I deal with that thought which I had at the part of the service last Sunday was that God wants to... You must get that disc. I feel that was something that God gave me in a very unusual way. I mean, it was just on the plane that I got all that stuff. Accessing the kingdom that God has for us, the vision, the plan, that God wants to introduce His people to that. We also talked about that it's not just darkness around. It says when darkness comes, the glory of God will be upon His people. We talk about Satan ruling the world. Really, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That God has a ruling, powerful factor. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And we talked about the restlessness of God. That the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong. He wants us to see His greatness. That's His whole purpose. He's restless, looking for people that have the capacity to see, receive the greatness of God. And we saw that God has no favorites, but He has intimates. Those who really walk close with God. I've had a wonderful week like this, the last week. Longing to be close to God. It takes discipline, it takes energy, it takes hunger. God deals with you very deeply at times. Intimacy, see you. God looks into you, and you can look into God. Intimacy. And we looked at that closely, and I felt that last week was something very special. And not to do with me, but I think you need to look at that for that sake. And that who talked about prophesying. We looked at Ezekiel 36, that we have the power to prophesy to circumstances. He that prophesied to mountains, to hills, to valleys, to trees. And before God works, we have to say something also. We have to prophesy. We have to speak to the situations around us to receive the marvelous fulfillment of God's blessing over our lives. This morning I want to continue in that vein, but slightly different, how God creates this. I think I've been needing 2 weeks to do this. How God creates this vision. I'll call it vision. But this God to work through us, He has to do something in us. He never works apart from us. Something has to happen to us for God to work through us. And for God to do what He wants to do in our lives. My week has been a week of very deep cleansing. The times when God takes you through very, very deep preparation and cleansing in your life. And you feel such a need of God. That's been my week this week. I don't know what yours has been, but that's the way God has worked with my life this week. And the times, you see, God has to prepare us for what He wants to do in us and through us. I'm going to call it the vision. That might be the best way to... I'm going to use an example of somebody later, further down. But how to create this kingdom power, this kingdom reality, this kingdom vision in your heart and life. I'm turning this, the text this morning in 1 Corinthians 13:13 that says, "Now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." I believe that a lot of things at times have clogged our minds and hath hindered us to receive the effectiveness of our vision of what God has for us in His kingdom as kingdom people. Unless we have a proper understanding of how God wants to use us, who we are, what we are, and so on, we cannot be very powerfully divinely effective for God. You can be in the work of God, not in the purposes of God. Are you hearing me? And that's the greatest concerns I have, that as a church and as individuals, we're both in the work of God and in what? The purpose that God has for us. I don't want to ever do anything unless we're in the purpose of God. Otherwise, we miss the line. Now, let me talk to you about some principles that undergirds this. God may have to erase some things out of your life for you to be effective in the future. To me, it's significant, and it's one of the most significant scriptures of the Bible. In Isaiah 43, when it says, please turn it if you will, when God says in verse 18, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. I know you know the scripture, but I think it has deeper meaning than many of us realize. Because, behold, I do a new... For God to do a new thing, the old has to be turned from. It shall spring forth. I will make even a way in the wilderness and rivers in the impossible situations. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons of the heaven, and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, give drink to my people, my chosen. These are the people I formed myself, and shall show them my praise. And so God says some things you have to turn from for God to lead you into the future that God has for you. Can you say amen? And the first thing you must decide is whether you're going to walk in covenant relationship with God, to walk in uprightness, to see, to watch what you see, what you hear. Remember last week I said there is a separation that takes us into the kingdom. And there must be that for God to do more for us. Because God must somehow put something inside of us. I can't force this on you. I can't make you come to this place. Only the Holy Ghost can work in my life. And the Holy Ghost must work in all of our lives. So to fulfill... See, God must put that vision, that understanding, that reflection of the kingdom inside of you. And then God can give you directions. He can't really give you directions until you have this divine transformation deep in your heart. And then God can do what He wants to do in your life. And you may have to turn from some of the traditional things that so often hinder us, or religious things that even can develop in our Pentecostal walk with God, spiritual walk with God. You know, somebody says, I've been in the way a long time, and I say, why have we been in the way? Get out of the way. It's a joke. But, you know, I've been in the way more than most people here. I mean, 50 years or four, no. But, well, I was saved in 1949, so you can understand. That's a long time ago. And, but He's still changing us. Somehow we've got to get out of the box. To get into what God has. It's so easy to get into a comfort zone and lose what God is really trying to do with every one of our lives to the glory of His name. Can you say amen? So, you see, it's like every personality has like a heart. You're a person with a certain kind of heart. And I've had bypass But it's more than that. We need heart transplants. We need a new heart in us. Can you say amen? God says, a new heart I will give you. I mean, the divine will hear tonight. The divine works of God in the glory of His presence are awesome. He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He shined into our hearts. Give us the light of the glory of the revelation of the knowledge of God. It's this big stuff. Not just that you're converted, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. There must come to all of us a divine revelation. Can somebody say amen? Now the church also has a heart. And the church must determine, where are we going? What kingdom life and kingdom power and kingdom glory will be in us and through us for the glory of God? When with the Assemblies of God years ago, when I was an executive, appointed me the chairman of the Spiritual Life Committee to determine what God will do with this fellowship. It was a hard task. And I had people on my committee that were brilliant in the natural spheres how to do this. You do this and you do this and you come into this. But that's not the way God does it. You know, and then in Garden City also, a bit of a hiccup, then had a group of men that wanted to show, and we went to the same thing. And you'll see in a minute how God prepares. I'll start showing you that vision inside of us. That direction, that something that sparks life in you. That you understand you're a kingdom person. Because really, nothing matters until we finally stand before God. This is only a preparation time, fulfilling time to do all we can for Jesus. We've got eternity before us. This is just an infinitesimal part of the eternity that God has for His people. And there's much said concerning this, you'll hear me say tonight. When Peter wrote his last epistle before he left in Paul, there's quite a contrast in his writing. Compared especially Paul to his previous writings. It's like a preparation time to the moment. He says, be instant in season, out of season. He says to Timothy, my time has come. I finished my course. And oh, some of us are getting slightly gray-headed. And I know we've got to be careful how we live. You can be saved, thank God, but I don't just want to be saved. I want to fulfill the destiny. Can somebody say amen? That's our dream. That's our plan. And that doesn't relate to anyone but just yourself. Firstly, God, what do you want to do in my life to fulfill the purpose and the destiny? And I think things have to be caught more than just taught. I can teach you. But they must captivate your heart and captivate your spirit and captivate your life. I think the first thing I want to say is that we really are a reflection of Jesus Christ. The world will only see God through us. If we fail, then the world says God failed. They don't have God anywhere else but through us. And somewhere, we in our lifestyle, if I succeed, they see God succeeding in us. That's why I used that term quite some time ago. The greatness of God must be seen by the greatness of His people. Now go with me to one or two scriptures. I told you about that greatness, the restlessness of God to show Himself strong last week, and we talked about quite a few. But I want to go to Isaiah 51, please. Just a few. The Bible is filled with this. The psalmist had a revelation of God, which I'll teach you in about 2 weeks' time, as I talked about the great confession of the psalmist. Had a revelation of God that very few people had. He ever went back to an understanding of this mercy, this love, this greatness, the holiness, the awesomeness of the God that he walked with. And here in Isaiah 51, it says in verse 12, we'll look at it verse if you want to. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. We used to sing a chorus like this. And everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy. And sorrow and mourning shall flee away. You remember that song? Amen. And then he goes on to say, I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that shouldest be afraid of a man? and that shall die, or the Son of Man, which he made as grass. And forgettest the Lord thy God that stretched forth the heavens, and laid the foundations of the earth, and that has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, if he were ready to destroy. Where is the fury of the oppressor? Hallelujah. Verse 15 says, I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. And then he says this. Remember the prophetic thing I talked about last week. You have to prophesy. I have put my words into thy mouth. I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand. Now why did he put his word in our mouth? To say it, to speak it, to declare it. He wouldn't put his word in the mouth for no reason. To declare the awesomeness of God. I've covered thee in the shadow of my hand. I have made my, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth through you. And say to Zion, thou art my people. Awake, thou art my people. Come on, church. That's God's purpose. Go to Psalm 61. These are some of my meditations this week. It says in verse 6, which by his strength, Psalm 65, by his strength setteth afast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of the waves, and the tumult of the people. They also dwell in the uttermost parts, are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning, evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth, thou waterest it greatly, thou richest it with the rivers of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest the corn, thou hast provided for it. God provide, can you say amen? Blessings of provision. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springs thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. Believe it. Can you say amen? Thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness. The little hills rejoice. This is the way that David expressed himself to God. This is how David used his mouth. Because you must remember, these, as we see 2 weeks to come, these aren't just prayers, these are confessions of songs that they sung to the Lord of his greatness. They said about Martin Luther, the world feared more the songs that they sang out of the truths that God gave them than even the doctrines which they held. You know, God says, he's so great, can you say amen? And somehow, God wants his greatness to be seen by the greatness of his people. We bear the image of God upon this earth, the way we live. We reflect God. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Most of us say, don't follow me, follow Jesus. But really, you should say, follow me. Because I reflect Christ. God give us that ability. Can you say amen? That people will really see God's greatness, God's life, God in every way through us. Can you say amen? The father should be an example in his home. A leader should be an example in the church. A worker should be an example the way he lives. Young people should be example at school, wherever they go, whatever they do. See, our actions speak louder than our words. And people should look at us and see God through us. God help us. What is Satan's intent? Satan's work is to make you fail. And he's good at it. That's his vision. I plan to defeat them. That you cannot see anymore, that you lose your zeal, that you lose your purpose, that you lose your kingdom capacity. That's his plan. He'll do anything to do that to your life. That is what he designed to do. And we demonstrate our love for God the way we overcome temptations. If you love me, Jesus said, John 14:16, you'll keep my commandments. We demonstrate God. Now, we can never be that righteous in the sense that's our acceptance, although the Bible says a lot. We'll see that tonight. When Peter came to the end of his life, he says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. That's his last epistle. And to knowledge, charity, and so on. If you do these things, you'll have an abundant entrance. So God wants us to add things to our lives. Can you say amen? Because we do reflect Jesus. Add to your life the things that reflect God and all His power and His reality within you. He wants that. He looks for that. Because that's the most important thing in your life. To be like Jesus. Can you say amen? And to love Him. And to endeavor to... He said, if you love me, He said, you'll keep my commandments. And we demonstrate especially the way you walk humbly before God. Anytime humility is manifested, Satan has no power. Anytime you say in a situation, I'm wrong, or even if you think you're right, you humble yourself, Satan has no power. He hates that. No matter what you go through, God can use the weakest vessel if they walk humbly before God. Can somebody say amen? He can use anyone. Humble ourselves under the hand of the Lord. Don't let Him humble you. That's a hard road. Humble yourself. I rarely pray, humble me, Lord, because then it becomes very tough. But I do want to humble myself if I'm able to. So we demonstrate that. The most important issues that I mentioned here, notice what it says. Now abides faith, hope, and love, or charity as the old translation says. These things. But the greatest of these is love. Now firstly, in the vision, in what God does with you, the first thing you must have is hope. Hope. Paul talks about hope that is seen is not hope anymore. Hope hasn't seen anything yet. Hasn't seen what it wants to see. But hope has this unseen vision in it. Remember, faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for. So, somehow, hope, faith lives in hope. And then it talks about Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope. He didn't see it for all the years. He was blessed, he had provisions, he was rich, he was famous. But the real vision he had about a child wasn't fulfilled. So against hope, he believed in hope. You've got to hold hope, dreams the vision. Now many of you have not seen all you want to see. But there's a hope inside of you. Hope has that vision, that inspiration, that dream. That's something that God has put inside of you. That's bigger than what you're going through. A restlessness that says, I haven't fulfilled it all. Anybody like that here? Because there's a hope that permeates your being. While faith activates the hope. Hope brings the dream. Faith puts the dream into action. Hope creates the vision. Faith acts the vision. And fulfills the vision. So faith always activates, responds, moves, does something. And you do it by faith. You haven't got it all together because hope is there. Working on faith takes hold of that hope. And brings about the purpose that God has. Now what's love? Why is it the greatest? Because unless love is there, the rest is useless. You may have a great hope. You may have great faith. But the purity of the vision is lost, or the kingdom. Okay, you can have selfish interests. If you just want a big church, if I want it or you want it, for the sake of a big church, we've lost the direction. We just sold save because we want to have a bigger church, or because we've got the heart of Jesus in us. Can you say amen? So it's love builds that relationship, that feeling, that something that ever glorifies Jesus and honors Jesus and gives Jesus the first place and wants to do it all for Jesus. Because really, when we want to get before God, we'll throw all our crowns at His feet. Tonight you'll hear about me touching that glory that is so powerful, so majestic in the light of this. So love is supreme. Now what will that reality we're talking about, this kingdom vision, this kingdom dream, firstly, what will it do is, we break, when this happens to us, we break through barriers. We break through natural thoughts, natural ideas. You break through into a realm. The kingdom is big, majestic, powerful, glorious, about a glorious God that has taken hold of you, that says, I've got a plan for your life. And your restlessness about it. You come into impossible thoughts. You enter into the dimension of the supernatural that God has for us. You understand His purpose, His plan that God wants for you. I believe God has a vision for every one of us, a dream, a kingdom reality. Even old men shall dream dreams. So hold on. God has a plan. Now, things have to change maybe for us to happen. Your thought patterns have to change. Your confessions have to change. Because remember, we talked about that last week. We have to prophesy to the mountains, to situations, to circumstances. Unless we prophesy, they won't move. We have to speak. We have to have confessions, and then our hearts change. And out of our hearts, you can't just live in a denominational test tube. We've got to somehow, now this is what's going to be hard, maybe get out of the box. And maybe we have to let some things happen to us, even to our church. Hello? Or do you just want comfortable messages every week? See what I'm saying? I'm not doing that. I'm trying to prepare us. I want to stand before God and say one day, I've done the best I can here to fulfill the destiny for every one of you people. And we're going to start getting out of the box. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Maybe hard for some in the traditional mold. May not be Abide With Me song. Maybe slightly different. Amen. And you need to say, God, I'm ready. Let God have His way. Can you say amen? And maybe bigger than our age. Bigger than our thinking. We've got to let God fulfill His kingdom in this day. And you must not be limited to the past. That's the greatest danger we have. To the failure of the past. To the foolishness of the past. To the limitations of the past. To what you've been through. And now it's never happened and never will happen. Well, God can even put a comb in your beauty box if He wants or whatever, you know. He can do anything. Come on, church. I mean, that was a miracle. And you may not think so, but she showed me. I said, you sure you're having some memory loss here or something? That's what she said, no, I've looked everywhere. I mean, I interrogated her. But no, it was a miracle. It was a miracle. And God can do anything. Come on. God wants to use us as a church. And I want to see that. Now, how did God do this in a certain person? I want to do a bit more worship at the end. You better switch something on here, brother. Get that light going, if you don't mind. Got a few more minutes, but I need to move away from this a bit. I've got this water here, so I better lift this up. Come on, brother. Just a fraction this way, but I don't get too close. Yes, that'll do. Moses is an example, and I will go on to it next week. How God prepares a man. You want to be prepared? And there will always be changes. You've got to get out of the box. Are you willing to get out of the box? That's a big word, yes? Now notice first, you have to be prepared. God has to prepare you for this kingdom reality that He has for you. I was talking to Madonna about evangelism the other day. And we talked about that she said she knew somebody where the form of evangelism is completely different. And maybe we have to change some things. Can somebody say amen? To fulfill the evangelism, the souls. I mean, I know a brother, one of the greatest, to me, evangelist pastors there is. Sunday nights, he has all kinds of stuff. He's the biggest Sunday night. No, most of the churches close Sunday night. He has 10,000 or so more. He has all kinds of things to break through with God. He started the church by going to the poorest neighborhoods, picking kids first. Bring them in by the hundreds. He's had done this certain times. I know him very well. He's a friend of mine. And he's done great things. But somehow he got out of the box. He was criticized for what he did. And maybe... And you have to be prepared. Moses was prepared. He had to be raised up as a leader to walk in supernatural power when none of the elders even cared of Israel. They didn't care. They'd been 400 years there in Egypt, and they're in the land of Goshen, which is some of the best land, or they were in slavery at that stage, but they still said, why go? There was a lot of stuff in them from Egypt. Remember? That even in the middle of the desert, they made this golden calf and named it Jehovah. They weren't free from all that stuff. So God had to prepare a man until he would break through to persuade Pharaoh, the most powerful man upon the world, to let these people go. A man had to be prepared of God. Now likewise, you have to be prepared. A church has to be prepared. And we've got gathered together people, great. Now we've got to prepare ourselves for the kingdom. Can somebody say amen? For what God has for us. How to do this. How to touch the souls of men. How to break through with God. I've had a restlessness all the week over my spirit. I'm not satisfied. I want intimacy first to know what to do. To move with God. To enter lifestyle, I witness all the time. I'm in a health club. I witness wherever I go. I witness whenever I'm not that often with people because I stay at home and pray and so on. But when I'm out there, I'm witnessing somewhere. But somehow we have to break through. Can you say amen? To enter a lifestyle that dares to believe, that dares to speak, that has the kind of prayers, prophetic prayers, supernatural prayers. I say, I'm too old for all this. You're never too old. Don't you dare say that to me. We're never too old to do something great for God. That's why God picked some of these people up when they're much older than you. And that time, the age was 120. And many people believe that should be our age now anyway. Not 70. That was only in the time when God spoke about... it's up to you, but I believe it's about 120. Somebody believe with me? Somebody said nothing. But expect God still to use us. In some way, let kingdom reality fill every one of our hearts to the glory of God. And then the preparation starts long before we're aware of it. God worked with Moses long before he even knew he was working with him. Early in his life, supernaturally, how God prepared him, how God took him back right to his home, to Jochebed, to look after him. When babies were being butchered to death and killed because Satan was trying, knew that something was going on. That's why we've got so much abortion today. Satan is trying to destroy the great purpose of God. And somehow, supernaturally, you know, many of us have stories of the preparation, the way I was born, 1 to 1,000 chance to live. The way, if you let my life story, we were preserved in Europe. Unbelievably, supernaturally. When the Russians were just a breath away from us, 14 miles in Zgeresh, when we left. And all the way through, how God preserved us time and time again. You read a life story. Even when I was dying literally in Celle in Germany with this unusual disease, the doctor said, there's no hope for this lad. Then he said, I've only got one more thing I can offer you. Excuse me, I'll tell you what it was. Drink his own urine. I can still taste it. I had to drink my own urine. That was the turning point. I've got pictures. I looked like death warmed up at the age of about 12. Lost all my weight. I was dying. But God knew. Come on, church. God was preparing. I'm sorry, but that's what I had to do. God was preparing us as a family. And that goes on with all of us. If you stop and think, the preparation of God has been upon your life. And it never stops. It never stops. As God preserved him in his early days, Moses. And then took him through. Look at Oral Roberts, how Satan tried to take him out at the age of 16 with tuberculosis. The church that I took over, one of the greatest healing evangelists in America, Raymond T. Ritchie, was dying, walking down the street, blinded by the growth he had in, what? Brain tumor. Was dying. God healed him. He became one of the great little fellow, one of the greatest evangelists and healing ministries of America. Working with William Branham, some of you know Branham, he often go even on the behalf of Branham to Europe. But God had to prepare them. I'm telling you, the preparation of God is on many of us. Can somebody say amen? That dissatisfaction, that feeling of restlessness, that something is saying I want more, is God at work? Come on, church. Preparing you for something. And you've got to get out of that box finally. That's the hardest of all. My wife and I were thinking of it last night for a few minutes. Oh, Lord, out of the box. What? God help us. I was lying in bed by that and saying, crying, Lord, whatever the box is, take me out of it. Help me to do something for you. That's what life's about. To fulfill the destiny that we can say like Paul, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. That never leaves us. That passion. Oh, that's the pastor. No, it's not. It's all of us. Because all of us have a plan. Come on, church. All of us have a destiny. All of us have something that God has. The devil wants to take it out of us by offenses, by failures. That you feel you can't do this. That you're not worthy. Or by limitations. All of us have been through a week of God doing things for me. All of us have been changed because we're too close to the coming of Jesus. We're too close to the time when and remember that those who came at the end of the day because their intentions were rewarded the same that worked at the beginning of the day. He knows your heart. He's the best bypass heart surgeon you could have. Praise God. He knows what's going on inside of you. What you feel. What you really want. And he knows the subtlety of the enemy. Who wanted to take out Raymond T. Ritchie or Roberts. I can tell you, most of these mighty men in Bible days. But notice number three. Oh boy. I'll go on next week. One more thing. The hand of God was on him. It's obvious this an incredible hand of the Lord resting upon God's servant. Although he spoiled it, he knew that God had chosen him. Remember that? When he was 40 years of age, that's very young. He knew that God had chosen him. And he spoiled it by his character. He was a violent man. I mean, he murdered a guy. And you know who betrayed him? His own people. It wasn't Egypt. His own people betrayed him that he had run in the wilderness. And he became the meekest man It says that there was, but God touched him. He spoiled it by his life, by his character, by his personality. And God had to change him. But the hand of God was on him. To bring about a destiny. Can you say amen? To bring about the purpose. To bring about what God had for him. He's an example of this burning vision inside of a man. And 40 years later, before God. You see, if he wanted to do it, if Moses would have done it his way, it would have been maybe that there would have been a great nation rising next to Egypt with all the influence of Egypt upon them, with never having become a theocratic nation that became the people of God that moved supernaturally. There would have never been what God wanted them to be. But it took miracles of God, supernatural leadings of God, supernatural power of God to bring these people to the place where there were a theocracy, where people around said they have something of God in them. And they should have been an example to the rest of the world, but they hid themselves away and lost even that vision. But it would have been a son of Pharaoh's daughter and an Israelite who did this. It had to be God who did this. I mean, who wants to go to the wilderness? Go out and maybe conquer in Jericho to the promised land. I mean, that's why the leaders of Israel said, what are you doing? You're creating problems for us. We're comfortable. God hasn't changed. Hello, church. He's still preparing us. Can we have that chorus on the Holy Spirit, please? You want God to use you? You want to become a vessel unto God? I want it. Let's sing that together, shall we? Let's stand. Come, Holy Spirit, I need Thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray.
Thank you again for tuning in today's powerful message from Dr. Reginald Klimanoff. We hope this has touched your heart and inspired your spirit. Stay connected with Logan City Christian Church for more uplifting sermons and spiritual guidance. Follow us on social media to join our community and stay updated on all our latest happenings. Remember, together we grow in faith and love. Until next time, may God's blessing be with you always.